This article has been slightly modified to optimize your listening experience. While we have included a brief description of the figures and tables, all references, citations, parentheses, appendices, footnotes and endnotes have been removed. To obtain these tables, figures, appendices, full references and citations for this article, please view the PDF version at the Canadian Journal of Learning and Technology website, www.cjlt.ca. The copyright for this article belongs to the authors and is openly released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License. The title of this article is Navigating the High Flex Horizon: Uncovering Successes and Hurdles in High Flex Undergraduate Education.
Naviguer dans l'horizon commodal, découvrir les réussites et les obstacles de l'enseignement commodal au premier cycle.
The authors of this article are Laura Morrison, Robin Kay, Allison Mann, Diane Tipillo, Hannah Atkinson, and Ian Brody of Ontario Tech University in Canada. Abstract. Since the COVID-19 pandemic, the demand for flexible, online learning models has increased in post-secondary education. The high-flex approach, where students can attend class online or in person, has emerged as one popular option. However, there remains limited research on implementing high-flex in non-lecture undergraduate learning environments. This study investigated the affordances and challenges of high-flex in non-lecture settings through the lens of the Community of Inquiry framework. Using a participatory action research design, data were collected from instructor-researcher field notes, video debriefs, and student interviews. A thematic analysis revealed that flexibility is the main affordance of the high-flex model. Significant challenges emerged with attaining mode neutrality and managing technological issues related to audio and video quality. Practical implications include providing institutional support in the form of enhanced technical infrastructure and training for instructors. Limitations to the study include a small sample size, demographic homogeneity, self-report data, and a limited focus on learning outcomes. Future research approaches are offered to address challenges in high-flex design. Keywords: higher education, hybrid, high-flex, online learning, technology.
Résumé. Depuis la pandémie de la COVID-19, la demande de formules d'apprentissage flexibles et en ligne a augmenté dans l'enseignement post-secondaire. L'approche commodale, où les étudiantes et étudiants peuvent assister aux cours en ligne ou en personne, est devenue une option populaire. Cependant, les recherches sur la mise en œuvre de cours commodaux non magistraux dans des environnements d'apprentissage de premier cycle restent limitées. Cette étude a examiné les avantages et les défis du commodal dans des contextes autres que les cours magistraux à travers le cadre de la communauté d'enquête. En utilisant une méthodologie de recherche-action participative, les données ont été recueillies à partir de notes de terrain de l'enseignant-chercheur, de comptes rendus vidéo et d'entretiens avec les étudiantes et étudiants. Une analyse thématique a révélé que la flexibilité est le principal avantage de la formule commodale. Des défis considérables ont émergé, notamment la neutralité des modalités et la gestion des problèmes techniques liés à la qualité audio et vidéo. Les implications pratiques incluent le soutien institutionnel sous forme d'infrastructures techniques améliorées et de formation pour les enseignantes et enseignants. Les limites de l'étude comprennent la petite taille de l'échantillon, l'homogénéité démographique, les données autodéclarées et une attention limitée portée aux résultats d'apprentissage. Des approches de recherche futures sont proposées pour relever les défis liés à la conception des formules commodales. Mots-clés: enseignement supérieur, hybride, commodal, apprentissage en ligne, technologie.
Introduction. In March 2020, education systems worldwide shifted to online learning, adopting what is now known as pandemic pedagogy. During this crisis, educators prioritized moving classes online over focusing on informed design and equitable access. Barber et al. Foresaw the post-pandemic new normal, suggesting that online learning adaptation would surpass pre-pandemic levels, requiring a more robust and flexible online infrastructure to support students. Demand for online learning has increased markedly in post-secondary education, with students favoring flexible learning options. Higher education has moved past emergency remote teaching, offering more effective online practices and increased learning flexibility. The high-flex model has gained popularity because it offers flexibility, allowing students to choose how they participate in class, in person, synchronously online, or asynchronously. While high-flex is relatively new to higher education, it aligns with the global need for resilient, adaptable education systems. Key benefits of a high-flex model are its flexibility related to diverse needs and student control over their learning environment. Key challenges include maintaining motivation and self-regulation, ensuring students in person and online receive equitable learning experiences, managing technical challenges, and implementing effective pedagogical strategies. Five gaps in high-flex research include exploring pedagogical strategies, addressing technological challenges, understanding social dimensions, the absence of ongoing assessment, and examining the type and quality of support. Most high-flex classes are lecture-based, involving passive delivery of information in person or online. Limited research has been conducted on how high-flex works in non-lecture-based classes with active, collaborative learning strategies. Furthermore, researchers have not thoroughly analyzed the technological challenges in high-flex classrooms or how to address them. The social dimensions and developing community in high-flex environments also require further exploration. Moreover, most high-flex studies implement end-of-term surveys, and ongoing assessment of the high-flex model throughout the semester might provide a deeper understanding of the process. Finally, while researchers recognize the value of support in high-flex learning environments, limited attention has been devoted to understanding the required type and quality of support. To address these research gaps, we designed and evaluated high-flex courses that maximized student interaction and minimized passive lectures. Participatory action research and design-based research approaches were employed to understand the affordances and constraints of high-flex learning. In addition, the community of inquiry framework was used to help understand the social dynamics of high-flex classrooms. Data were collected in four courses over two semesters to help understand the longer-term impact of high-flex and how perspectives might change over time. Finally, a systematic support network in the design of the high-flex classrooms was integrated. This study, therefore, analyzes the affordances and challenges encountered in non-lecture-based and constructivist high-flex classrooms, focusing on pedagogical, technical, social, and support issues over two semesters. Literature review, flexibility. Student demographics in higher education are complex, where work and family responsibilities pose a challenge to attending class in person. The high-flex model offers a flexible alternative to traditional, in-person instruction. Students can choose in-person or online formats based on their various restrictions. Further, Cumming et al. Reported that higher education students could better balance studying, work, and family with the high-flex format. Heilporn and Lackhull added that recordings of flexible synchronous sessions helped students keep pace with their classes when family or work commitments were particularly demanding. Additionally, several studies indicated that higher education students appreciated being able to have agency over their schedules. Chen and Lai noted that the high-flex model allows students to choose their preferred mode of learning. Finally, some evidence has suggested that the flexibility inherent in the high-flex approach can increase enrollment and attendance. However, Howell noted that some students take advantage of the choice of mode and do not attend class. Limited research exists on the impact of flexibility specific to non-lecture-based high-flex classrooms designed to solicit active student participation and collaboration. In a lecture-based class, there may be minimal difference between listening to a professor in person or online. However, in an interactive and collaborative environment with extensive discussion, students attending online may be disadvantaged. Mode neutrality. Mode neutrality refers to students achieving comparable learning experiences regardless of the delivery mode in a high-flex environment. Several studies have indicated that students preferred in-person to online classroom formats. Konk and Morehouse noted that students preferred in-person teaching because they had more opportunities for social interaction. Cheng reported that in-person students receive more attention from instructors than online students. On the other hand, several researchers have claimed that some students have better learning experiences online. For example, Butz et al. Noted that online students were significantly less bored than in-person students. Romero Hall and Vicentini observed that online students felt more comfortable responding honestly to questions because they felt less peer pressure and were more relaxed without the nonverbal cues typical in an in-person class. Konk and Morehouse added that such students perceived online as better because they had more access to relevant resources and received immediate instructor feedback. Several large-scale literature reviews have suggested that mode neutrality can be achieved in high-flex classrooms, at least in theory. Key suggestions have included focusing on the principle of equivalency, intentional course design, creating and designing multimodal supports, leveraging peer interactions and the use of discipline-specific guidelines, purposeful and thoughtful use of technological tools, developing strong community connections, and establishing robust supports for students and faculty. To date, limited research has focused on the impact of specific pedagogical approaches to achieve mode neutrality. Most high-flex studies have not focused on pedagogy and defaulted to the lecture-based approach in traditional higher education classrooms. While several reviews noted that developing interactive high-flex classrooms would help develop high-quality learning experiences, to our knowledge, no research has been conducted on establishing mode neutrality in non-lecture-based high-flex classrooms. Technical requirements. A high-flex learning environment is highly dependent on smoothly functioning technology, including high-quality video and audio, a reliable internet connection, a learning management system, software to share material and engage students, and devices to connect to the high-flex classroom. Problems in hardware and software components can derail a high-flex classroom. For example, Cumming et al. And Chen reported that poor quality audio and video were common and limited online student participation. Wang et al. Added that unstable networks were frequently reported as challenging. Numerous training and support issues have been identified in high-flex environments, including instructors' limited digital proficiency, lack of administrative and technical support, need for training and practice in using high-flex equipment, support for online students, and instructor cognitive workload to address technical and student issues during class. These issues can undermine mode neutrality and negatively influence the student learning experience, particularly for online students. While technological challenges and requirements have been well documented for lecture-based high-flex classrooms, limited research has been conducted on technical requirement challenges in non-lecture-based high-flex courses and whether these issues dissipate over time. It is conceivable that the planning and implementation of interactive high-flex classrooms might magnify the scope and frequency of technological issues. Pedagogical strategies. Planning, designing, and implementing high-flex learning demands a significant shift in pedagogical strategies to adeptly navigate and negotiate online and in-person environments simultaneously. These strategies need to address equity and alignment among online and in-person students in at least five areas: effective communication and interaction, community building, managing attention and social presence, providing adequate scaffolding and support, particularly for online students, and engagement. Engagement is potentially difficult when an instructor uses interactive learning strategies requiring collaboration and discussion. Researchers have suggested co-teaching as a viable approach to reduce the challenges of implementing these pedagogical strategies. In this approach, one instructor facilitates online while the other leads in class. Divided attention is the common barrier to community building, effective scaffolding, discussion, and increased engagement. To date, the impact of a second person on student learning has not been studied. To our knowledge, research on pedagogical approaches and how they evolve over time in non-lecture-based high-flex classrooms has not been studied. Support for instructors and students. Instructors new to high-flex often face high cognitive load maintaining mode neutrality, using advanced technology, and implementing new pedagogical strategies. This extensive workload underscores the need for institutional support, professional development, and technological resources to address extensive cognitive demands. Institutions need to communicate precise technological requirements and expectations for high-flex classrooms for both students and faculty. In addition, faculty training must provide dedicated resources to support pedagogical adjustments in course design, evaluation needs, and engagement strategies. Finally, teaching assistants could provide critical support in high-flex classroom implementation. The role and impact of institutional support, faculty professional development, and teaching assistants have not been critically examined in non-lecture-based high-flex classrooms. Theoretical framework. Previous research concerning the theory guiding high-flex learning is limited. A theoretical framework for high-flex classes must address both in-person and online formats. The Community of Inquiry framework, developed by Garrison et al., has been widely used for analyzing asynchronous and synchronous learning and has in-person setting applications as well. The COI consists of three interconnected elements: social presence, cognitive presence, and teaching presence. Social presence enables participants to present themselves authentically, fostering emotional expression, open communication, and group cohesion. Cognitive presence involves constructing meaning through communication, supported by indicators such as problem recognition, exploration, integration, and resolution. Teaching presence encompasses designing and facilitating the learning experience, including content selection, activity design, and assessment. Key aspects include managing instruction, fostering understanding, and providing direct guidance on pacing, discussion, and addressing misconceptions. The COI framework informed the design of our high-flex classes and was used to analyze the data and discuss the findings. Research questions. Two research questions were addressed. What affordances does a high-flex format offer in a non-lecture learning environment using the Community of Inquiry framework? What challenges arise when implementing a high-flex format in a non-lecture learning environment using the Community of Inquiry framework? Methodology. Research design. This study followed a PAR approach, a collaborative method involving participants in all research stages to address real-world issues. The team designed, developed, and implemented a high-flex structure for two undergraduate courses in educational studies spanning two semesters. Team activities included attending each other's classes, taking notes, providing technical help, and debriefing after each session to assess the format effectiveness. Before the 2023 fall term, we discussed anticipated challenges and promising practices from the literature we wanted to incorporate. In addition to PAR, a design-based research approach was used. This is an iterative, naturalistic research method involving an intervention. In our case, the intervention involved implementing the high-flex structure. The collaborative and adaptive nature of DBR suited our undergraduate high-flex classroom setting, and enabled us to observe the affordances and challenges of high-flex classes over time. This offered a deeper understanding of their impact on teaching and learning. Design-based research procedure. In fall 2023, the first research cycle with two required undergraduate educational studies courses was conducted. Enrollment ranged from 80 to 120 students. Throughout the semester, data were gathered and the team made small adjustments to the course structure, tools, and facilitation to meet classroom realities and student needs. For example, different audio input-output design options for lecture-based courses were considered. The classroom background noise needed to be minimized and speech clarity and volume maximized to ensure that both in-person and online students could hear. We also experimented with fully separate and mixed student groups to encourage student engagement and community building. We used different activities, such as chat waterfalls, inquiry-based activities, and gamification tools, to improve mode neutrality and support collaborative knowledge building and the three COI presences. At the end of Cycle 1, the persistent issues were technological in nature, like ineffective two-way audio and insufficient video coverage of the in-person classroom, students, and instructor. These issues impacted mode neutrality, especially for online students, which affected collaboration and community building across modes and the development of the three COI presences. In winter 2024, a second cycle launched to implement changes based on challenges identified in our analysis from fall 2023. Improvements were made to move toward a mode-neutral learning environment and increase reliance on university technical support to reduce tech issues. Audio and video issues were targeted so students could easily collaborate on synchronous class activities. Also, in-person instruction alternated between the instructor and teaching assistant each month. This change responded to online student feedback regarding reduced connection to the course instructor during synchronous sessions, and fully online and fully asynchronous weeks were added for broader insights connected to student engagement and cognitive presence. To support student engagement and learning, technology tools were streamlined to reduce cognitive load and enhance scaffolding for weekly tasks and assignments. Figure 1. Research design overview. Design-based research component. Cycles 1 and 2. Course design and support. While most high-flex courses use a lecture-based approach with minimal student interaction, this study employed a constructivist model. Courses were designed using a flipped classroom approach where students completed readings and self-paced activities asynchronously. Synchronous class time was used for group discussions and applied activities where students experienced teaching presence via the design and facilitation of asynchronous and synchronous learning activities. Social presence could be experienced through group activities and cognitive presence experienced in both asynchronous activities, which required critical thinking, and synchronous activities, which required negotiation of ideas, critical thinking, and knowledge application. Synchronous sessions were dedicated to collaborative activities, reading reviews, and group discussion. Previous research indicated a need for additional support in high-flex classrooms. In this study, instructors received support from teaching assistants who helped facilitate and troubleshoot unexpected technical issues. Instructors also received support from our team through debriefing sessions focused on improving activities and materials. Technical support was available to manage persistent audio issues. Participants included 4 students and 4 instructor researchers who designed, taught, and studied the HyFlex courses. Student consent was obtained via a consent letter. Demographic data for the student and instructor researcher participants were collected. Table 1. Demographic characteristics of student participants. Table 2. Demographic characteristics of instructor participants. Data collection and analysis. Data were gathered from instructor researcher field notes and debriefs throughout the semester and end of semester student interviews. Debriefs and interviews were conducted and transcribed via Zoom. Although the courses included first year and advanced entry students, only those with online learning experience participated in the interviews, which were conducted by research team members not teaching the HyFlex courses that semester. Data analysis involved qualitative, deductive, and inductive coding and thematic analysis, focusing on HyFlex affordances and constraints. Initial codes were deductive, while subcodes emerged through multiple readings and were refined iteratively. To ensure multiple perspectives were considered and to ensure the reliability and accuracy of the findings, the key trends identified were based on themes that appear in the data across all formats and from multiple participants, i.e., debriefs, verbatim transcripts, and field notes from students and instructors. Findings and the data analysis process were based on direct quotes to support data interpretations and enable transferability. Key trends aligned with the literature included flexibility, technical issues, and pedagogical issues, e.g., disconnection, classroom support, instructor cognitive load, and mode neutrality. The final coding yielded 2 main themes, affordances and challenges. Results and discussion. Data analysis revealed 2 key themes, flexibility as an affordance of HyFlex and both technological and pedagogical challenges. Results are presented holistically and organized thematically without separation into iteration, despite revising our approach between iterations, i.e., additional IT support and having the TA and instructor switch between online and in-person. Similar challenges were experienced across semesters. HyFlex affordances. Flexibility. Flexibility is a key benefit of the HyFlex model, and the results of this study align with the literature. In a debrief, one instructor researcher observed that when students got sick, most opted to join online, and some expressed that they actually like it. Later, another instructor researcher reported that a student attended online to avoid commuting in harsh winter weather. Additionally, an instructor researcher noted that the flexibility to join online or in person helped hesitant students gain confidence with online learning, reflecting that students who were initially hesitant to go online, but who did as a result of being sick or home life commitments, developed their confidence learning online and some of their tech skills. Student participants echoed this view of flexibility. One student noted that while she lived too far to switch modes, a couple of group mates switched if they were in the area, so that was pretty cool for them. Despite mixed attendance, groups collaborated smoothly. Similarly, a student recounted how a peer could join online. They weren't able to make it into class physically, but they were able to log in on their computer. This flexibility allowed students to stay engaged and attend class in whatever capacity they were able to, offering students a low-stakes way to experience online learning HyFlex challenges. The HyFlex format included both technological and pedagogical challenges. Technological challenges such as audio and video issues remained consistent in both semesters, regardless of increased IT support. After various testing, challenges with the audio and video system remained unresolved with no viable solution. Pedagogical challenges included issues related to a mode-neutral student experience and the need for classroom support. Audio technical issues. Audio issues were frequent and disruptive. One instructor researcher described the situation midway through the semester. Back to facilitating in-person this week. When I arrived, there were problems with the tech again. Sound in particular, another instructor researcher, and I spent 10 minutes troubleshooting the input-output sound issues and eventually had to settle for the output coming out of my computer. This workaround proved ineffective as only students near the computer could hear online participants, forcing the instructor to mediate communication. She explained, It became like teaching two classes at the same time because the tech didn't support a seamless integration. It was exhausting with only a 10-minute setup time before class. Instructors often had to apply quick fixes, adding to the cognitive load in an already short 50-minute session. Students also reported audio issues which disrupted class flow and information sharing. Early on, a student noted that if people would ask questions in class, you couldn't hear the in-person students. Online, the instructor would have to try to remember to repeat the question. Another student stated that online contributions were stifled. The online student speaking doesn't really happen in the high flex, so you're only typing in the big group. The TA was the one listening to people online and checking the chat. Many audio issues experienced in the first semester could not be resolved by the second semester. One second semester student expressed similar frustration at needing a proxy to participate. In all the other, fully online classes, we'd be able to raise our hand and actually talk. But in this high flex class, we would have to just type our question, and then the TA would read our question for us. This student found the disconnect especially challenging during question periods. Though communication was smoother in online breakout rooms, these technological challenges were consistent with, but more nuanced and prominent than, the issues identified in previous research into lecture-based high-flex classrooms. More frequent interactions among faculty and students in a non-lecture-based classroom appeared to be exacerbated by technological challenges. Audio issues disrupted communication and formation of a sense of community between in-person and online students, forcing instructors and TAs to act as intermediaries, which added to instructor cognitive load, consumed class time, and hindered a cohesive learning environment. Video technical issues. Video technology issues disrupted both student learning experiences and instructor pedagogical practices. A student noted that the camera angle weakened her connection with the instructor. I did suggest to the instructor having the camera on the face because previously, it was like at the back, and they were this little. I couldn't see their face. I couldn't see their expression. So that was a challenge. They tried to move it up a little bit. I still didn't. I didn't feel it to be as personal like this. Student referenced the fully online Zoom setting of the interview. Even when adjusted, the camera setup limited how connected online students felt to both the instructor and the classroom environment. An issue less prominent in fully online environments. An instructor researcher shared, I kept moving away from the podium every time I wanted to explain something in detail to the in-person class. I can only imagine this is really disengaging for the online folks who periodically just see a blank screen when I move out of the frame. I find it difficult being in two places at once. Today, with the sound issues, I just opted to give instructions to the two groups separately so that I could be fully with one group and then fully with the other. For example, I first gave the online group instructions ignoring the in-person students at the beginning of class and left the TA to help them, and then shifted attention to the in-person people and felt free to walk around the room while giving instructions. Due to technology constraints, the instructor taught each group separately, which was exhausting and disruptive, hindering both community building and the ability to establish teaching, social, and cognitive presences. A student described a limited view of the classroom. Something I actually always wondered in that class was, how big is this classroom? Because the one camera was always just up on the podium facing the professor. So, I don't know how difficult it might be, but like, even if there was any sort of TV that shows the class and another little camera that's pointing at the instructor. Like audio challenges, the video issues experienced were consistent with those described in previous high-flex studies, and the technology configuration limited active learning approaches. Maintaining teaching and social presence was challenging because the camera could either zoom in on the instructor or show the whole class from the back. These issues could be less problematic in lecture-based classes where instructors stayed at the front of the classroom and video was unidirectional from the instructor to students. Pedagogical issues. Mode neutrality. Although previous research suggests that achieving mode neutrality can be challenging, limited detail has been offered regarding the dynamics of equality in the learning experience. Our results offer more detailed insight into the difficulties involved in achieving mode neutrality in a non-lecture-based setting. A student reported feeling a weak connection to the class and the instructor, especially due to the initial camera angle. The course started off at first like not feeling as personable, and then midway through the semester, the instructor changed the camera angle, So instead of having it like showing the entire class, it showed her. She changed it so that it was like right in front of the podium. So, I was like, okay, this is a lot better. I know who she is. I got to see her face. Like I can see her expressions. So that was a lot better. And more helpful for me. In this case, the video was limited in several ways, which restricted the goal of mode neutrality. Unfortunately, switching the camera angle also impacted the instructor's pedagogical practice, which the student recognized. I know, the instructor is like pretty actually stuck to the podium, so that was pretty hard for her to move around in the course, and which I think is difficult for her because I think she is one who likes to be animated and you can't really do that in a high flex setting. The instructor's attempt to foster community by using a wide camera angle was ineffective, as online students could only see the backs of heads, reducing their sense of connection. Adjusting the camera to focus on the instructor at the podium improved teaching presence for some online students but restricted the instructor's movement and added cognitive strain. One instructor researcher noted in her teaching evaluations, "When I was facilitating in the in-person setting, feedback reflected that the online students did not feel prioritized and vice versa when I was facilitating from the online setting. During two fully online weeks, feedback from instructor, researchers and students indicated these sessions were smoother, with increased engagement and learning. This may have been due to the undivided attention of the instructor, clear instructions, and combined support from both the instructor and TA," as one instructor researcher reflected. "When you're teaching fully online, and you see something happening, you can give that hint right there. And when you're teaching in the high flex format, you don't necessarily see all the things going on in the chat and you have to sort of think about, I got people in person. What do I mention to the whole class?" One online student felt the imbalance, observing that the professor mainly supported in-person students while the TA became a proxy instructor for online students. The TA would be talking to us, and the professor would be talking to the class. That always made us seem kind of separate. And even when we're doing the exercises together, at the same time, it was like the TA was dealing with us, and the professor was dealing with them. This student also noted a limited online community in high flex compared to other online classes, saying, "I actually feel like out of all the online classes I've taken, the online community aspect of it in the high flex was probably the least of them all. That's probably just because the professor is trying to engage students that are right in front of them." Overall, instructor cognitive strain combined with requiring the TA to act as proxy between the online and in-person delivery introduced challenges. Despite changes made to bridge gaps, i.e., changing camera angles, instructors and TA trading off in-person and online, students observed a divide between online and in-person delivery, and consequently experienced feelings of deprioritization and disconnectedness. However, feedback from two fully online weeks indicated that being together in one space led to a smoother, more engaging experience. Pedagogical issues, classroom support. In this study, support for instructors and students was a key focus. The instructor researcher team facilitated debriefing sessions and provided moral support by helping with troubleshooting and planning after classes, with an aim to improving session design and course materials. Additionally, IT provided technical support with the sound system, which had not been tested for large group discussion-based activities. Teaching assistant support in the classroom was critical for students. They provided immediate technical support with the LMS, Zoom, and Google tools, as well as support to navigate group signups, breakout rooms, and activity instructions. While instructors focused on in-person students, one student shared that TA assistants helped not break the flow of the class. The instructor wasn't bogged down by all these little interruptions, especially since the classes are so short. Another student remarked, "I think the TAs were a godsend. The TA was so quick every time. If there was a question, she answered it right away. I actually got to know the TA quite well because I get her to come in a breakout room for clarification. And that was an important part, having that extra set of hands to kind of cause the chat goes, and sometimes you can easily miss something, but the TA was on everything, every single time." Educational implications. This study aimed to address five gaps in previous research on high flex learning: pedagogical strategies for learning, technological challenges, understanding social dimensions, the absence of ongoing assessment, and examining the value of technical and teaching support. Ongoing assessment and feedback offered the opportunity to address these challenges and uncover preliminary promising practices for a non-lecture-based high-flex classroom. Multiple interactive strategies used in a collaborative classroom appeared to magnify the challenges experienced by instructors and students. Audio and video challenges, for example, impacted social, teaching, and cognitive presences. While it would be premature to offer unequivocal advice based on this study alone, future HyFlex educators should consider several preliminary implications. First, non-lecture-based HyFlex classrooms are viable but require extensive planning and support. Essential technology must effectively support the HyFlex environment to help maintain teaching, social, and cognitive presences. Dedicated teaching and technology support is also highly recommended to help maintain flow. Limitations. This study has several limitations. First, the small sample size limits the generalizability of results. Second, the demographic homogeneity of participants may not reflect the unique challenges faced by more diverse students. Third, the reliance on self-reported data may be biased as participants' reflections could be influenced by memory recall or social desirability. Finally, this study focused on instructor and student perceptions but did not assess the actual impact of HyFlex on learning outcomes. Future research. Based on the results and limitations of the study, the following suggestions for future research are offered. Continue to use longitudinal, collaborative research, but expand the sample size to include a more diverse population. Expand the measurement of HyFlex impact to include specific learning strategies and outcomes. Modify and improve the quality of support for HyFlex classrooms to reduce the impact of technological issues. Explore the social development and connectedness of students more deeply, and investigate equity and access issues related to HyFlex learning environments. Conclusion. As global events and technological advancements continue to reshape educational landscapes, there is an ongoing need for adaptable and research-informed pedagogical practices. This study provides insights into the opportunities and challenges of undergraduate, non-lecture-based HyFlex learning, contributing to a growing body of innovative research on flexible learning environments. Our findings suggest that a collaborative learning environment is possible in a HyFlex structure, but that careful attention is needed on design and implementation in order to support social, teaching, and cognitive presences. Our recommendations for future research support the evolution of innovative learning in higher education to ensure higher education remains flexible and responsive to change. Authors. Laura Morrison is an assistant professor in learning sciences at Ontario Tech University in Canada. Her research explores innovative education, AI literacy and ethics, digital literacies, and inclusive maker pedagogies. Laura has published widely, presented at 30-plus conferences, and co-edits the Journal of Digital Life and Learning. Robin Kay is a full professor at Ontario Tech University's Faculty of Education in Canada, and has over 30 years' experience teaching computer science, mathematics, and educational technology. Author of 200-plus publications, his research explores AI in education, e-learning, blended learning, video podcasts, and the emotional impact of technology on learning. Allison Mann is an associate teaching professor and B.Ed. program director at Ontario Tech University in Canada. She specializes in online and blended learning, AI in education, and equity-driven design, with research on HyFlex and flipped classrooms. Her work bridges technology, pedagogy, and creative approaches to teacher education. Diane Tapillo is an associate teaching professor at Ontario Tech University in Canada. Diane's research explores innovative education, especially inclusive teaching in mathematics and coding. An important part of this research is supporting teachers and pre-service teachers to change their beliefs and practices. Hannah Atkinson is the educational technology analyst at Ontario Tech University in Canada, and a registered early childhood educator. Hannah holds a BA and an MEd, focusing on education and digital technology. Her research interests include digital play, HyFlex and online learning, non-disposable and alternative assessment, and educational technology. Ian Brody is an academic associate at Ontario Tech University in Canada, and a certified teacher with 35 years' experience in classrooms at the elementary, post-secondary, and graduate levels. Intensely curious about learning and technology, Ian is always looking for ways to help students become lifelong and successful learners. This is the end of the article. The full text of this article is available at the Canadian Journal of Learning and Technology website, www.cjlt.ca.